we feel that I didn't get the right admission that you have, and we go back hopeless. You understand? Something is wrong. No, the hope of Christ, if it fills you, it will overflow. And when people come to your home, when people speak to you, the hope of Christ will overflow and come to you as well. Because it has to come here and it will overflow. Go back, rewind. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. The condition is very clear. If you are going to not trust in Him, none of this can really be fulfilled. Unless you decide to say, I lay down everything, my Lord, I trust in you alone. I trust in you alone. It's not that God will not bless you, but how can you expect God to bless you? How can you expect God to fill you with all that things if you are not willing to trust in Him? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, as you trust in Him, as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You begin to recognize that, oh my God, I thought all this is finally by the power of my faith. No. I thought all this is by the power of my understanding of the Word. No. It is not my power. It is nowhere mine. No. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it beautiful, beloved? It doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on you. You trust the power of the Holy Spirit will give you that hope. Will give you that peace which you lack. Don't you want? Don't you want? I want. So I begin with that benediction, beloved brothers and sisters. That's what you have to come in expectation. May I ask you, sometimes I do this whenever I want to preach. I want to ask you, you don't need to answer me. If I say, Kezia, why did you come here today? If I say, Stuti, why did you come here? If I say, Shana, why did you come here? Brother, why did you come? Dr. Rooney, why did you come here? Wilson, why did you come here? Brother Wilson, sorry. He's much elder to me. I just met him in the morning. Why did you come? I don't know why he came. Why did you come? Alex, why did you come? Derek, why did you come here today? To play the drums? To play the piano? George, why did you come here? To preach? You know, I come always with the expectation. I've learned to do that. To say, Lord Jesus, I said it last time. I don't know, some of you might remember among the youth meeting. To say, there's one selfish thing that you can do. I think it is permitted in the kingdom of God. And that is to say, I want you to bless me. I want you, without your blessing, I will not go from here. Without you speaking to me, I will not go from here. Jesus, you must touch me. I have come here with worry in heart. I don't want to go here with the same worry back. I have come here with lack of faith. I don't want to go back with the lack of faith. I have come here with confusion in my mind. I don't want to go back, because if you are true and you are real, I submit to you, O Lord. I want to go back with an answer, with some comfort if there is no answer, with some healing for my, you know, that soul, something, some strength, which Paul, you might say, strength of the inner man. Strengthen my inner man. I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know what it is, but I know. And I ask God for that. I say, I want strength in the inner man. And I know what it feels like. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, in that itself, how much of joyful things are there, right? All it is for us to say, oh Lord, help me to trust you more. I have not trusted you, maybe. Maybe I have trusted you and something. Lord Jesus, from today, now, wouldn't you make that commitment now? It is not too difficult. You make the commitment. Right now you make the commitment. Oh Lord, forgive me that I have trusted multiple things. Jesus, teach me, because this is the word of God. This is the word of God, that you decide to trust in Him fully. And there is no harm at all to tell, at any age, at any time. All right? So beginning with that benediction, there is one video that I'm going to show you. I want you to look carefully. There's lyrics also in there. And then we will move ahead. Is the audio connected? It's a song by Ray Bolts, and the song title of the song is "Who Nailed Him There?" Or the hammer, actually. The mic or headphone? Random jack on the mic in the under headphone.
I'll just put the mic next to it if you
light
it.
Can you switch on the light, please?
Only one?
Yeah.
Is that the audio? Just try once, otherwise you can.
Actually, audio coming.
Okay, just leave. Is the audio coming there?
It's not playing at all.
Like only the audio is not
there. Actually, audio is not coming here also without this pen.
But the pen drive is there. Can you directly play it on the other one?
This one is not working.
Oh, it's not working. Eh? Do you want my laptop? So nobody has left so far, so I'm glad. So while they bring it up, I think we will. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Doesn't work with that.
Yeah, it is connected to projector, it's not coming.
Okay. Fine, if it's not coming there, you just the audio will.
The mic will.
Audio alone, okay.
Yeah, audio is enough. Just the audio will do. Can you play the audio?
Sure.
Okay, so they're just trying to continue to get that. Okay, Acts chapter 4, and I want us to read verse 27 and 28. I want somebody to read it, please, preferably two people from this side or that side. Acts chapter 4 and verse 27 and 28.
For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur.
Alright, let me read it. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. You done? Is it playing there? You can play this. Yeah. Or if it's playing, you can keep the speaker there. I mean, the mic. Yeah.
John said the audio alone has the impact, to play only the audio.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we have it for the visuals.
Yeah. So just listen to the audio, please. I'll explain that. Just listen to the audio.
Child of peace and mercy, who gave him death?
switch on the light, please. Can someone tell me what touched you in your heart? What is that one thing that moved your heart? Anything, it could. I just want to know. Can anybody say? What is in that song? How many people have seen this song before? Heard this before? Okay, some of you have. There's something that really touched me and moved me from the day that I heard. There's a transition that happens in the lyrics. Who nailed him there? Who nailed him there? The centurion, probably. Huh? Yeah, yeah. The centurion is asking the question because when he sees what happened on the cross, now this is a story, but probably it happened, we do not know. But the point is, as he sees this, he is saying something is wrong here. Who nailed him? He's not supposed to be there on the cross. But something that is blinded from him is the hammer is in his hand. Right? And he constantly asks people, mock him. And then finally he says, I just don't understand. At the end of it he says, now I understand. I nailed him there. Beloved, do you begin to see that the gospel begins, the message of the gospel begins with the word repent. You begin to see why salvation is necessary for you and me. We need to begin there because many times, since we do not begin there, we don't understand the value of the gospel. We don't understand the God whom we deal with. We don't understand this great and mighty God. I was wondering today morning, actually Johanan asked me in the morning or yesterday, he had asked me, do you want to choose a song? On purpose I said, no, I don't want to choose a song. You know why? I had a selfish purpose in that. I said, my God, I want to see your flow of things coming through that. I want to see you correlate things. If you are going to bless, you are going to bless through that. I want to see it. And I was so joyed to see one by one the glory of God. We'll see that shortly. A few verses up, you'll see the same verses we sang multiple times today. And I said, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. That is the thought that we want to learn about you and listen to you. I nailed him on the cross. Beloved, everyone seated in this room must be able to acknowledge that on your own, in your closed door, to be able to say, Jesus, I nailed you there. You know, one of the things we find difficult is today we look back at the incident of the cross and we claim what Jesus did. But I'm just thinking, what if you were part of that crowd? What if you were one of the Jewish rabbis? What if, how would you have slept that night? What would have gone on through your mind after doing what you did? Right? What would the centurion, imagine the centurion who actually crucified the person who was there, what would have been his reaction when he realized and understood, oh my God, I cannot remove it, I nailed him on the cross. Beloved, the lyrics of that song, you will see, I nailed him there through my sins and my transgressions. Beloved, one of the points that we must understand, and I am lately realizing that even more and more, is this: to understand that my God really, I try to sometimes imagine that, oh my God, one of my sins also is part of that hammer that hammered Jesus on that cross. The moment you think, you shudder because, oh my God, Inda Prabhu, how can that be? My today's sins, yes, it is true. Beloved, we need to think and meditate on some of these things and then we will become humble before God. The reality of sin in our life. I want to give you an instance of, I heard before, you might have heard the story before. You know, sometimes we wonder, we talk about, okay, the last week Al-Baghdadi was killed and we are so happy about it. I'm so happy about the justice of God. Doesn't matter who did what, how, but God is supreme, I know that, and honor him. But at the same time, to understand that, what's the difference between Al-Baghdadi and George Matthew? There's no difference. I honestly am telling you. You know why? I'll explain to you, and you need to understand that as well. During the Nuremberg trials, I heard this from one of the messages of Ravi Zacharias, you can go back and look at it. One of the trials, there was a gentleman by name Adolf Eichmann, I think he's dead now, Adolf Eichmann. Right, Adolf Eichmann was the author of murder of so many Jews. Right, author of murder. And during the Nuremberg trials, you know what happened there. And these men were just so stoic-faced. None of them would repent, and they would not even say that what they did was wrong. So stoic-faced, they would sit there during the trial, stand up and justify what they did. So hard their heart was. And then there is this gentleman, Adolf Eichmann, when his trial was going on, they brought in witnesses. And one man who came in there was a person whose family was wiped out by this man. And he came with anger. Imagine, we have not gone through that. Imagine your whole family murdered, and you are coming to see your murderer, because you have to testify before the court, because that's the only way justice will come. And he comes into the court, and one thing happened, I forget his name, he came, walked into the court, and he looked at the face of Adolf Eichmann, and this man fainted. He just fell down. And later on, news reporters asked him what went through him. They couldn't understand why he fainted. And he said, I looked at the face of Adolf Eichmann and I saw that he was an ordinary man like me. That shocked him. He was coming to see the face of an evil man, you know, with probably horns and things like that. But what shocked him is there is no difference between Adolf Eichmann and me. Our hearts are the same. The potential is the same. I could do exactly the same thing which Adolf Eichmann did. That shocked him. I believe that is a true conviction of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that conviction has to come to us. To know that your heart and my heart are truly desperately wicked. That given the potential, given the circumstances, we are no different from Al-Baghdadi. You will also be a murderer. A glimpse of that, you know. How many of you, don't need to tell, how many of you have peace at home? How many of you have talked angrily and wretchedly to people around you? You have done that, I have done that. In our own families I have done. I have done that to Sandhya, I have done that to children. Right? But that's just a small glimpse, because it's not really murder. You know, we just ask God forgiveness and came off. But actually, given the circumstances and you keep going that direction, you know what will happen? You will do exactly, you might even murder your wife, you might even murder your children, you might even, I can do that. The potential we should never forget, because I am saved by grace through faith, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am cleansed, does not mean that I cannot do that. It just means that I am set free from all that bondages, that I will never need to do that, but given the privilege and the chance, not, I won't call it privilege, given the chance, and if I walk away far from God, if I allow myself to drift away from God, I will do exactly the same. I too can be. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when men of God will fail. Don't be surprised when women of God will fail. Don't be surprised when ministers of God will fail. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with the gospel. The problem is your heart, my heart, unchecked. Because we have not understood the gospel. Beloved, I keep telling this. I said this openly in the other, in the youth meeting as well. You know, today I am far less confident than I was 25 years ago when I came to know the Lord. I am telling you. That's the truth. I don't need to lie to you. I am far less confident than that time. You might wonder then, we need to check this guy's faith, whether he really believed and trusted in the Lord. No. You know why? Because 25 years ago when I came to know the Lord, I was a raw believer. I just loved God and walked in His ways. But I did not know my heart. Until years of churning, and God revealed and said, you know, I want to tell you that. You know, there are testimonies that we hear, which is amazing, because God just takes this murderer, brings him to the Lord. God just takes his drug addict and brings him to the Lord. God just unrepentant children will bring to the Lord. It's an amazing testimony. But if I tell you my testimony, you will feel bored. Because I was a very nice guy. You ask anybody, try to find out from my father and mother and all what kind of wrong I have done. Nothing. Nothing. Why salvation for me needed? I don't know. You understand, right? He's a good guy. Everybody liked me. I was peaceful, gentle. I have three sisters. Ask them. They love me so much. Today also we love each other so much. No fight. Nothing is there. Then what? Which sin? Where? What? You begin to see that, yes, but I needed to know. You know, I was known as a gentle person. A person who will never fight. A person who will not talk, you know, angrily and things like that. You know, when I began to realize that that was false? When I got married. True, honestly, the way I have been angry to Sandhya, I have never been to my friend. Ajit is my dear friend before my marriage. He knows. Have I ever been angry? Have you ever seen me angry? Right? But when I got married, not her fault, what happened? I got transformed, regenerated. I was a believer then. That's the truth, beloved. The truth is the potential to be angry man was there, but me, because of my circumstance, maybe my upbringing and things like that, I was gentle, that's all. But the point of the matter is God had to do something in my life to say, George, don't think. Beware if you think you stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Where it says, beware if anyone thinks he stands, lest you fall. Right? So God does that. Why? What I'm trying to say is, do I have the potential to murder my wife? Yes. Just because I preach here, does that mean that I am absolved from that? I may not do that. I can do that. But what prevents me, what constrains me, is the love of Christ. If I abide in Him. You begin to see that. Our understanding. So go back to the example of Adolf Eichmann. Why did that man faint? He did not faint because, you know, he was shocked by this man's murder. He fainted because he just saw, this is an ordinary man like me. Oh my God, I can do the same things that you did. Beloved, so coming back to my point, I'm far less confident now because I know the potential in me more than before. As I read scripture, as I know experiences, I know all the more, my God, just one bit away from your sunshine, from your light, I potentially can destroy my family, destroy the church, do all sorts of rubbish, make all sorts of rubbish choices in my life. So, I am far less confident, and so, I far more trust in my Lord now. To say, my Jesus, without you I don't want to do anything because I know I will squander it. Without you I do not want to raise my children because I know that I cannot bless them. Without you I do not want to relate to my wife because I know I can never give her what she wants, nor can I get what I want. Pastor keeps saying that, right? We ask what, you know, that's what happens in marriage, we say, right? It's a triangle, you remember all that, right? But through experiences you begin to realize. Beloved, that is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not the state where, hey, now I know how to preach. Hey, now I know the truth of this matter. Hey, now I know how to live by faith. No, that's not. That's not. Spiritual growth is the position to say, my God, I am a sinner. Go away from me. Have you heard that somewhere? I am a sinner, my Lord. Please go away from me. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? Peter. If Peter, have you said that any time? Go away from me, Lord. Why don't you say? We have to say that, no? Because we haven't understood. Beloved, when the glory of God appears, why do disciples fall flat on their face and be frightened and the angel has to touch them and say, rise up, be of courage? You know why? Because that is the truth, beloved. God in His grace and shadow has been just covering us patiently, enduring us. Our prayers, God has been enduring our prayers sometimes. Yeah, I think so. That's why we have to pray like the disciples prayed. Jesus, teach us to pray. Sometimes I'm afraid to pray some things because I don't know. Is it too much, too less? You begin to see why I say that I'm far less confident now. But I'm glad for it, beloved, because then I will trust in Him more. Then the God of hope, you begin to see, as you trust in Him, to trust in Him. So we must begin to pray and say, oh Lord, remove my confidence. Remove my confidence. But I don't know who said, I was shocked when somebody prayed or something said, help us not to keep our confidence in our job. And somebody said that. I was shocked, oh my God, why? That came, and I want to tell you that. I want to tell you some of those aspects also. And I want to tell you raw, because see, one of the things that I keep telling is, see, the glory of God is not just that He died on the cross for us 2000 years ago. That is true, that is valid, that is the greatest glory. But the glory of God is that He is living today. And how do you know He's living today? Sinkwe, how do you know He lives today? Shana, how do you know He lives today? You must have His taste of His love today, no? You must have a testimony today, right? You must at least be able to look back 1 month and say that, I think God is involved in my life, He's alive. If that is not there, yes, beloved, that's not, I'm not saying, demeaning it. I'm saying that's the truth and reality of believers living together. That is why we come together. We must have testimonies, not cooked up testimonies. We must be honest with each other to be able to say, oh God, you see, in this thing, God help me like this. In this thing, I fumbled and this is what God did. In this thing, you know, I'm in shambles, but God does. The other person will say, come on, trust in the Lord, look at my life. And we build up each other. We repent, come together. You see, we begin to do that. So we need to understand, come back to that point where we begin to say, oh Lord, I have trusted you less. I have trusted many other things. I have trusted my job. Coming to that point, I want to tell you, this is my 22nd year in Tata Consultancy Services. TCS was my dream job when I was doing my engineering. My pastor would know during those days, 1994, right? I'm not a computer science guy. I'm a mechanical engineer, right? I still remember, just for the glory of God, I still remember, I'm an average in the class. CET Trivandrum, I studied. I dreamt of getting a campus placement. I waited. The first company that came was L&T, and then the other one is India Aluminium. I still remember. If I can remember that 22 years back, that means you know how close it was to my heart. But I never made it for the test. Nothing I got in the test, right? Forget about placement. I never got a placement initially. But later on, I'll tell you, there's no time here. But I'll tell you, there is glory in God's name. My Jesus lives because I know. I'll tell you privately when there's time. If there's time here also, I can tell you. But I know for sure why God stalled those first few placements. And later on, He did a glorious work in giving me one work. But it was not TCS. It was something else. Right? But later on, God did another glorious thing. I want to leave it as a suspense, like a suspense thriller, so that you come back and ask me what it is. And I want to tell you about the glory of Jesus of Nazareth who lives today. And He gave me that job, 1998 I joined. This is my 22nd year, right? That was a dream job, even today a dream job for many people, thinking that it's stable, secure, Tatas will never send you away, and things like that, right? But the truth of the matter is, it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth who sustains that job. Today He can take it away. That's what's called sovereignty. You understand that? That's called sovereignty of God, provided you acknowledge that. The moment we acknowledge that, God, thank you, you by grace have been keeping me here, but today you can actually take it away. And it's okay if you take it away. That's submitting to the sovereignty of God. But I live by the benediction I give. My hope is not that God, they will send me away from the company. That's not my hope. My hope is that I will still be there. 22 years He gave me my salary. I keep telling all my, whenever I take trainings, I tell, or induction for all my new team members, I tell them one thing. I tell them, stop short of the gospel. I tell them certain things. I tell them this, you know what? 22 into 12 months, whatever that number is, I have never, our salaries come one day before the end of the month. One day before the end. Can you imagine? I don't think many of you may not. Many of, I know my friends, believers also, who struggle. They're not getting in the 5th and 10th and all. They have to wait for that. But in 22 into 12, for these many years, is it my goodness? No. No. What about the other believers who are not getting it? Are they less than me? Is that why they're not getting it in time or early? No. It is just the grace of God. For a purpose, He's doing that. And I better testify to you. And tell you also that He can do the other way around also. So I tell my team members, openly I tell them, I'm so grateful to my God that not one month has the salary been delayed, even to the first. It is always before the 31st. But the company is going through turmoil, it has gone through much turmoil and things like that. But point is, it's not about TCS, beloved. It is about my testimony. You don't need to take this and copy it. Do you understand? It's my. You will have your testimony. My testimony is this, that my God has supplied all my needs according to His riches in glory. Whenever needed, He has given, and He has never failed in that. You will have your testimony. You don't need to compare to mine. That's important. Otherwise, you will be going thinking, oh my God, I should have been an engineer. I should have gotten TCS. Then I will have a testimony. No. That's my testimony, not yours. But where is your testimony? Come on, stand here and be a man and share it out. Share it out. Tell the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we are so sad. You know, when I say this, sometimes people say, you don't tell too much because tomorrow we don't know. Share market may come down. TCS may collapse. You might be sent off. Man, that is tomorrow's testimony. There will be something else. Today's testimony is this. Tomorrow is after the collapse. I will have a testimony to tell you about my Jesus who lives. Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid to share until we see? You will never come to a point where you will share Jesus, no, Christ of Nazareth. because you will always wait for something more. When once this also happens, I will testify. Once this also happens, I will testify. It will never come. You begin to say, if you have tasted God's love today, share it, beloved sister and brother. It might be small, it might be big. It does not matter. What matters is your heart, genuine relationship in Jesus Christ. Submitting to the sovereignty of God, of course. Drawing your hope from the right source, beloved. There is no other source. There cannot be any other source. Because there is no other name given under heaven except the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I hammered on the cross by my transgressions and sins. And I am not worthy. I am not worthy of the joy of his salvation and to meet like this in his presence and to praise him and give glory to him. Beloved, I just said one or two things. Some of things that are repetitive, even with Job. So the point I'm trying to say here is, I'm far less confident today. More wanting to, not because I've grown in faith, therefore trusting. I want you to know that. It is not because I have grown in faith and knowledge of God that I'm trusting in more. It is because of my desperate understanding that I cannot survive without trusting it. I wish it were the other way around, but it is not. God wants us to rely on him. You know, I used to wonder, why is that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. It should have been made a little more easy. We have a lot of ministry to do, so it should have been, give us this year our daily bread, so that we have more time to pray for other things the rest of the year. Isn't it easy, right? Give us this day our daily bread, meaning today I have to pray, tomorrow also I have to pray the same thing. Day after tomorrow also I have to pray the same thing. It would have been far more easier and efficient. God is not a good minister. It would have been far more efficient to say, some of these prayers, we just pray for the next 10 years and forget it. Now you pray for people's salvation. No, God says, no, first I want you. I want you to rely on me. I want you to trust in me. I want you to know that you are fallible. I want you to know that you are empty. I want you to know that you cannot survive without me. We talk about that verse that Paul talks to the Cretans, is it the Cretans? He says, we live and have, and we have our being. We live and move and have our being in Jesus, not the Cretans. He talks it to the Athens, yeah, and the people of Athens. Beloved, that's what meditation is. Think about that verse. We live and move and have our being in him. Do you really believe it? Do I believe it? Do you really believe that your breath today is from him? Do you fear that? Also, may I tell you, there is a verse in the Bible or verses that talk about the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom for your children, wisdom for yourself? What do you have to do? Fear. The word is fear. You know what fear is? Pedi. Bhayam. Let us not qualify it with reverential. Pedi Payam, children. Fear God. He is a consuming fire. He punishes. He sends to hell. He can save also. He can do whatever he wants. He is sovereign. He can bless or not bless. He can give you or not give. He can stop prayers. He can answer prayers. But somebody, Brother Georgi, read that passage in the New Testament. He says, we have not come to the blazing fire. You read from Hebrews. Yeah, we have come to the feast and gathering of God's thing. I mean, what is comparing that to the Old Testament? The Old Testament, they knew the fear of God truly. Because they said, Moses, you know, you go and tell this God to keep quiet there. We will be far away. Let him speak to you. We cannot bear this. We will burn. Our children will die. We will be in soup. That's the glory of God. That same God is there today. He is the same consuming fire, beloved brothers and sisters. So let us recognize who we are in the presence of this holy God. Beloved, it is needed for us to exercise that, not artificially, but to say, oh my God, even to pray then. Today if you go back home, if you are confused with what I am saying here, at least you can go back and say, Lord, is there something that I am not really trusting you completely for? Is that why that overflowing hope is not there in my life? Is that why I do not have a testimony of your glorious provisions for me. Lord, help me. God is gracious. That's where God is gracious. God will not condemn. He says, come my child, I have been waiting for you to ask me this. I have been waiting for you to come with a broken and contrite spirit because I want to bless you, my dear child. I want to use you, my dear child. The church of God is living. And through us, the blessing will come to the nation. Beloved, don't think too small about ourselves. Beloved, we might be frail, we might have trouble in our families, some of our family members have not come to know the Lord Jesus, we are praying for it, we are eagerly waiting, so many things might be there. It does not matter. Of course it matters, it's important to us, but it doesn't matter in you moving forward. You just let go. You just do what God is asking you to do. Repent and turn to Him. Accept that the hammer is on your hand. You have nailed Christ also. I have nailed Christ. That truth remains always. Remember that. God forgives us, forgets everything. But we shouldn't forget that, no? Right? The moment we forget that we nailed Him on the cross, you know what will happen? Pride will come. Right? That is how what happens many times. So sometimes God will give a reminder. And then we come back. We come back to our senses. To say, oh my God, help me, help me, help me. I want to read a few more verses just above that. I told you I'll read, okay, verse 24. We read verse 27 and 28. So, the verse that I read, for truly in the city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Who are the people? Now, that question also, is it the Jews? Is it the Gentiles? Is it the Romans? Who crucified him? Beautifully, God puts it all together here. And he says here, saying, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, both of them are there. With the Gentiles, Gentiles are there. And the people of Israel, his own people are there. But what did they do? To do whatever your hand, God's hand, your plan, God's hand had destined, predestined to take place. That's the sovereignty of God. Right? They did all that. But it is all perfectly fitting in His plan. And all we need to do with God's sovereignty is to acknowledge the sovereignty. You know, sometimes what happens is we get confused when we get into the shoes of God to start looking the way God wants to look at it. That's not what God wants us to look at. In terms of sovereignty, what God wants us to do is to say, oh my God, thy will be done, not mine. You understand? That's sovereignty of God. All God wants us to do is submit to His sovereignty, not dissect His sovereignty and try to explain it out. Right? All God wants to say is, finally, acknowledge the answer to prayer is in His hand, not in yours. Acknowledge whether to save you or not is in His hand. Acknowledge that whether to bless you or not is in His hand. You begin to see that's where humility comes. That's the only time really when we will really bend our knees, because we know that's when the fear of God comes, right? Oh my God, it is this God to whom I have actually no right to claim anything, before whom I have no standing, honestly, yet I have great standing. Who is this God? Why does this God love me so much? Why is He keeping me like this? Beloved, if you all sit here, we have troubles in our life, but at the same time, beloved, we have so many things to thank Him for. And I'm saying literally, truly, truly it is. Why don't we just thank Him for that? Why don't we keep thanking for that? Don't compare and see what is this or that. Just keep thanking Him for that. And then submit to His sovereignty, saying, oh my God, I know that You are all powerful. I'll tell you, then like Peter, there will be times when we say, oh my God, You are too close. How is it possible? And then you'll see the arm of Jesus saying, yes dear, you don't deserve, but I am hugging you. My grace is sufficient for you. And this is an ongoing thing in our life. To understand our smallness before a mighty God. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt us. These are the things, beloved, we need to. That's what meditation means, beloved. To say, oh Jesus, the children have to know. Children have to know, how does it apply to me? How do I submit to God? How do I trust Him more? You should be asking that. You should be asking that. We submit to the sovereignty of God. And then also one thing here, verse 25. it says, I'm still reading from Acts chapter 4 and verse 25. End of Sovereign Lord, who did make the heaven and the earth? Remember, we sang many songs about a God who created heaven and the earth. You know what? Sometimes we are too used to it that we have failed to understand now the heavens declare the glory of God. Finished. That's sung here and gone. But do you really know what you're saying? Do you know? Do you believe? I'll tell you, you know how you'll believe? We talked about the job. Do you really know that the job was given by you, kept by you? He can take it away. Then it becomes very clear. Oh yes, you are sovereign. Heavens declare the glory of God. Happily we declared. When marriage comes, to get a good husband or not, who gifts? House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a good wife, prudent wife is from? Am I the only one who believed that? Beloved, male, you are not yet married. Man, you have to believe that. As if you want a good wife, you want a beautiful wife, you want one who will love and care for you, you want excitement in your married life at 25th year of wedding anniversary. He will give you. I'm not joking. He will give you. He's given me. I want to testify. I'm telling you the truth. Yes. Every wedding anniversary I look back and say, not because of our goodness. That is why I stand in awe of God, like Him. My God. 19 years. It's not just 19 years we survived. 19th year, our love for each other is definitely more than before. You want that? Trust in the Lord. Ask Him, say, mine, I want. And if you doubt, you said, George told me, so please, Lord, like George, I want. Ask Him. That's testimony. You understand, right? That's what we should do, beloved. I should say, God blessed George Anthony, uncle, like this. I want to pray. Like you blessed, uncle, I want. You did it to him, why won't you do it to me? I can ask. I'm not comparing, of course. I'm not asking to make me VP of a company or own some thing like that. That's not the point. You blessed him with peace, with joy. I want that. You can ask that, no? Because he serves you. He lives. You begin to see that. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife, a wise wife, is from the Lord. Then whom should we ask? Beloved. That is where we begin to see and tell people and our children to say that you want. We tell our children, we say, you want that, you ask the Lord. God will give you. Trust Him and wait upon Him. He will give you that. If He doesn't give you, He is not God. We can strip Him of all His qualities and stop worshipping Him. Yes. Yeah. We can believe like that and tell Him, right? Of course, with His sovereignty, right in place. But God is not a sadist. Okay, so we can boldly pray those prayers and trust in Him and look for Him that way. Okay, sovereign God who made, because the point I tried to say here is heaven and earth declare the glory of God, that is right. But in our life also we have to declare the glory of God. How? By His works in our life. That is why the psalm says that we come to the congregation of God to declare His wonderful works. Wonderful works where? Not outside. That we will do. Look at the trees, how beautiful the leaves, amazing. Sun is amazing, everything. But what about George Matthew in your life? Is he amazing? Yes, he has to be. Otherwise I sit at his feet and say, Lord, I don't see you yet amazing in my life. Please, I am wrong, I know. Not because you are not amazing. Will you give me? Will you help me? Will you make me taste? Will you make me stand up and testify? Dr. Rooney, so beautiful, right? The other day, and I was excited. What's happening in your life? I want to take names. Yes, you will also testify. What's happening into your life? You are going through hell. But the glory is God's, because when we look at what's happening around you and inside of you, right, we are amazed. How is Dr. Rooney able to do this? I want to be like him. I want my faith like to be like his faith. We are encouraged. He doesn't know. Right? He might be wondering, I am struggling. What is this guy saying? No, you are an encouragement to us. Truly speaking, right? Like that, one after the other. So many. We have so many testimonies here. It is Sister Tessa, every time. I always tell Sunday, I want to come and ask you on that deathbed, what really did you see? For that, what is that? Isaiah chapter. Malachi 4:2. Man, that is amazing, right? You know, one thing I understood, I thought when I'm on my sickbed, I'll be the more spiritual. There are days when I have been in hospital, I have not been able to pray at all. We think, right, because I'm in the office, I'm tired, and you know, no time for prayer and things like that, then we just enter into hospital and we are resting and then prayer comes. It has never happened to me. In fact, I'm down. I'm not willing to pray. I'm not feeling like praying. I just lie down, think some things. I never read the Bible and things like that. So I am shocked when pastor says, either it is a lie or it is truth. I'm joking. It is that amazing. That is why I'm saying. I'm comparing to that, right? So I want to go and ask her, what is this, Sister Tessa? What are you saying? How did it happen? And she will say, I know for sure. She says, I don't know, but God told me this. He removed the mask, he says. Man, what more glorious work is needed for testify? I think you should be running the streets of Kerala to tell that. Wherever you get a chance to say, people might think you are foolish because you are an ophthalmologist, senior doctor, talking about rubbish. No. I removed the mask and I quoted whatever Jeremiah, and then I fell back, rolled my eyes back, and voila, there next day I rose up again. Praise the Lord, beloved. Praise the Lord. That is the kind of thing. Isn't there hope? If God raised her from the dead, isn't there hope for us? There is. I'm going to stop here. And we'll just read one more thing. You know, verse 25, David, we say, Sovereign Lord, and then they go back. By the way, the context here, I didn't tell you. The context here is, you know, the previous verse. What is the song, children? Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man. He said, Silver or gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. And what is it? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then what happens? He just doesn't walk, he leaps and jumps. And so many things happen there. Everybody comes into Solomon's portico and this huge commotion because this is unheard of. 38 years. 38 is it? I think it says the number of years there. Right? He was lame from birth. It's 40, close to 40 years. Actually, the man was close to 40. 40 years, lame from birth. It is a shock for everyone. And then the scribes and the Pharisees and all are disturbed because everybody will go after these guys. They are talking about Jesus of Nazareth. So they catch them, imprison them and tell them, you better not talk. And you know the context, he says, Peter and John, they tell them, look at their face, you tell us. You want us to listen to you or to God? You answer us. So boldly they tell. And then they realize they are saying that they are uneducated men. But they realize he was with Jesus of Nazareth. They were with Jesus of Nazareth. That's the context. And at the end of it, they imprison them. But they are not able to do them anything, any harm. And they let them go. They threaten them and let them go. And that's when they go back to their, it's written, they go back to their friends. And then they share the testimony. And as soon as they share, you know what they do? They just sing out in praise and prayer. An amazing thing, they never pray once for the security of their... Again, you know, typically if that happens, what will we pray for? Oh Lord, we pray for the leaders of the, you know, place. They should not arrest us anymore. Please guard us and our families from any more arrests. Things they never talk about. You know what their prayer is? Sovereign Lord. That's the prayer. Sovereign Lord, they immediately recognize. Sovereign Lord, who did make heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who by the mouth of thy father, of your father David, thy servant, did say by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on. Why did the people rage? They then quote Psalm. It's like a Bible study. They then suddenly go into Psalm chapter 2 and then talk about why do the nations rage and the peoples imagine vain things. The kings and the earth set themselves in array and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. You know, it's saying futile. Why are these silly fellows doing this? Scripture says that, you know, they will have to kiss the king's feet. Psalm chapter 2, you know, it ends by saying that they will have to kiss the feet of Jesus. What are they trying to do? Persecuting Jesus. They don't know, foolish guys. Right? That's what they are saying actually. They don't use that word there, but they give glory to God, recognize his sovereignty, accept that into their circumstance, situation. And then they quote from scripture, they look back to scripture and draw comfort from that. That's the source, right? Saying, your word says this. We draw comfort from that. And then they go on to pray a courageous prayer. You know what the prayer is? Verse 29 and 30. Can somebody read this? Verse 29 and 30. Chapter 4 of Acts.
And now, Lord, take hope of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence.
Yeah.
While thou dost extend thy hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus.
Yes, they are praying exactly the opposite of what the scribes and the Pharisees threatened and sent them back, because they knew there is a God who is sovereign. They knew they had a mission and purpose in their life. They knew this is what we have to pursue. They knew that, and so they just appealed to that. They went to the source, the one who is sovereign, the one who has promises for us, whose promises we can stand upon, and that will come to happen. and then pray the right prayers to God, to say according to scripture, according to his desire, we start praying things. And God, you know, God immediately heard. You know what happened there? Give the rest.
And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken.
Yes.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And began to speak the word of God with boldness.
With boldness. Isn't that what we need? Beloved, I'll stop here. Time is going. But I want us to... I pray. I have prayed for this and I believe that answer is there. Not because I preached, because this is a prayer of many people for years, probably in the church, outside the church. And we know a lot of people, God plans and places to pray for us, right? I'm praying that God will make a difference in our life from what we have heard now. To trust Him rightly and more. And this is irrespective of age. I hope the younger children have heard. I don't know how much my own children have heard. But I hope always that they would hear also. Somebody prayed at the beginning. It was Johan and you prayed. Huh? From the least to the... What do you say? From the eldest to the least. Some prayer he said. And I was... Right, that's good. When he prayed, he said, God bless them from the eldest to the youngest in the church. Yes, youngest. It's very close to me because I think, yeah, some of our youngest are here and many of our youngest are here. They need to hear also. You know the Holy Spirit works in them? By the way, I just want to tell you, if you believe in a God who is sovereign, don't think that they don't understand. The Holy Spirit can speak to their spirit while you are preaching, while the worship is happening. I keep telling Derek, do you know that when you play the drums, the gospel can reach people's heart? Only drums, no words. No words. It can happen, Derek. But you, with the moment you know that, everything will change in your life. The way you play the drums, why you play the drums, how you play it, everything will change. When he knows that the sound is a ministry in God's Shamma. Right? If this is Shamma Tabernacle, you are not the one playing the drums. You are not going to take glory. God takes the glory. But he will show you for your encouragement. You know, when you played the drums, the gospel entered my heart. You think I'm saying something out of the Bible? No. God can do that. God can do that. You begin to see the excitement. Please, beloved, may God change our heart. Give us the boldness and courage to make changes in our life. Many times we might have failed. It is okay. Today, make a fresh commitment. Make a fresh commitment. I'll tell you one thing. I have made many times commitment to Jesus. And I want to tell you that whenever I feel, I keep making the commitment also. I never look back and think that, oh, once I made, doctrinally it is wrong to make again, things like that. No, who cares? I anyway want to reiterate my commitment. In fact, when you break the bread, every time God says, remember my death until he comes again. Again and again you have to remember your commitment. Perhaps recommit. What is wrong? Of course, we are not teaching a wrong doctrine. But what I am trying to say is, that's the heart we need to have. Right? Oh Lord, I might have failed. Oh, help me. There's nothing wrong. At whatever age, let us cry out to the Lord to say, oh God, give me the heart of faith like a child. Change me, Lord. Let me be a blessing. Change my tongue. Give me a better way. Give me gracious words, seasoned with salt, imparting grace to the hearer. I'm quoting from scripture. All these are scripture verses. Right? I pray that. Give me gracious words, seasoned with salt, imparting grace to the hearer. When people hear, they must be blessed, not to have a name, but I just want to see the blessing, man. I want to see the blessing. When I get 5 minutes with Singhui, I want to see the blessing come to you, brother. Whether I see it now or not, later on also, something should come to you. Hope that overflows. The benediction, now final benediction. I want us just to stand up. I'm requesting, actually this is a new song, so I just requested Suti yesterday night to just play this. There's a song by Don Moen called Mi Corazon, My Heart. Right? It calls our heart to call upon the Lord in a fresh manner also. I wish that lyrics would also move our heart to make commitments and to praise God. Right? This Sunday of fellowship, this is the first Sunday, we're going to have fellowship meal as well and be together. And may God bless that in a fresh way for the glory of God as we sing this song. And then we will pray and conclude. Song. Yeah, that one. There. is our prayer, beloved.
Shouts with every breath, I'm crying out, I want to live for you alone. You have captured my heart, because Lord, I give you my whole heart, because
also, I want you to give your life to Jesus and pray to Him and cry this to Him.